Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to listen to the full Burke Show every day, uninterrupted, with no ads? Become a bonus Burke Show subscriber. Find out more at theburkeshow.com/bonusbs.
The Burke Show.
Our lives are a reality TV show, Kristen. What did you do over the weekend that made the show and didn't get cut?
Oh, that made the show?
Made the show and it didn't get cut.
Dude, Jimmy and I met Bluey this past weekend.
The Bluey?
The Bluey.
Shut up.
The one and only Bluey.
Shut up, because he's usually on the yacht with, like, she is usually on a yacht with, like, a bunch of younger dudes drinking and doing it up. Bluey's a she?
Bluey's a she, yeah. It's Bluey and Bingo, they're sisters.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Never watched.
Bluey's six, so it's a very interesting yacht ride.
Yeah. That sounds fun.
Yeah, so it was playing at the theater. Bluey's Big Play was this past weekend. So we went to the 10 a.m. show.
That's how you know. Seriously, that's how you know. That's like one of the signs right there. I remember this. Like when you go to a 9 or a 10 a.m. show on a weekend, you know you're a parent.
Oh, yeah, you are. So 10 a.m. show, and it was packed with kiddos.
Really?
I looked at my husband because I had like a 10 a.m. and then like a noon or a 1, but that's like right in the middle of Jimmy Snap, so that wasn't gonna happen. So it was a first for both of us as far as like attending a kid show like that. But
there's so much pressure off though when there are other moms and dads in the theater with their kids.
Oh, screaming at them to tell them to shut up and sit down.
Well, I was thinking just the opposite. I remember when I used to walk into that theater and there were other parents with kids that were like 2 or 3 years old. There's just kind of a patience that you have with each other because you just know we're all kind of going through this together.
No, and we definitely were. Like it was just it was mayhem. Like this is a show that you go into knowing there's going to be a lot of chatter and a very good possibility a little foot kicking your seat. And you're just going to have to deal with it. Yeah. And the show's only 45 minutes because they're little attention spans, you know.
Well, sure.
Yeah, it's very, which was perfect. Mm. It was actually probably 5 minutes too long. but I splurged and I got the meet and greet. So after the show, we went back there and we got to meet the one, the only Bluey.
Mind blown for Jimmy?
He, from afar, was so excited and was sitting there going, "Hi, Bluey, aww. Hi, Bluey." And then we got up close and he was like,
starstruck.
That's how it works, man.
Terrified. And I'm like, and in my head, I'm thinking, oh, I spent way too much money for this, for us not to get a good picture with Bluey. But he simmered down a little bit. I had to hold him. He was clutching onto me like with a death grip, but finally gave Bluey a high five. And so I felt like we had some success.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah. So that was for sure the highlight.
All right, Cassie, your life is a reality TV show. What was
Beat
the highlight?
That.
Yeah, good luck.
Did a whirlwind trip to the beach with the kids. Yeah. So we went down to Santa Rosa Beach, Florida, 30A, and had a weekend with another couple of friends. And it was my kids' first time seeing the beach.
Oh, that's cool.
Both of them. Okay. Hazel and Max. So there were some terrified of the water and the waves, not a fan of the sand, but then we eased into it. And of course, by the day we left, everyone loved the beach. Oh. Didn't want to leave.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, Mo.
I went to a party with two of my friends. It was a triple date.
And one of my friends got into an argument with his date, and she walked out on him.
Oh. During the party?
During the party.
Dang. Yep. Was this a fight that started before they even got to the party, or was it alcohol-induced and just one thing said set them off?
It was like both. It was a fight that had been going on, which we had no idea about until after, because he told us why after. But in the moment, we just saw the alcohol pouring, and she got up and knocked her drink over and walked right out.
Oh, dang. And,
dramatic.
Yeah, okay. It was very dramatic. So that was the highlight of my weekend.
Dang, I'd put that right up there with meeting Bluey.
Yeah,
Abby.
So I definitely felt like a reality star this weekend because for the first time, I didn't ask me anything on my Instagram. My date was 45 minutes late, so I had some time to kill.
Okay.
So I got on my Instagram and I just said, ask me anything. And I just went through the gambit, got a little wine drunk at the bar, and it was great. Wild, wild weekend for me.
I think my first question would be, how long are you going to wait for this dude?
I told him I would give him an hour. And so he had about 15 minutes to spare.
Did he make it?
He did make it, yeah.
And I'm assuming he hit you up with like a legitimate excuse as to why you were giving him a 45-minute grace period.
Yeah, he literally sent me like live footage from traffic. He's like, here I am. I just moved half a mile. I'm like, good for you, bro. I'm still here.
You are patient.
That's a tough way to start a date right there. Yep. 45 minutes late. Okay. And mine was I spent the entire weekend with my 15-year-old, which was really, really great. It was a fantastic weekend. But I'd say the highlight is we got his first car this weekend because his birthday is on Thursday. So shopping for a car, him driving, hanging out. We just did like stuff I'm going to look back on and go, what a great weekend, because it was just time, really. Mm-hmm. You know, we went to go see a movie together, had a burger together, played wiffle ball together. I just hung out with him all weekend. But the highlight was probably, and he's a really good driver.
Well, compared to what you've seen before.
Yeah. My two kids are very, very different. The spatial awareness is a little bit better than Aiden. So we're good to go. But it was good.
Good.
Really, really good.
The Burt Show.
All right. Now, Katie, this is a very good time to check in with you because going into the weekend, you are heading on out on spending some time with a woman, but you weren't exactly sure if it was a date or not. You told us about it on Friday, and we were all convinced, like, oh, for sure, this is something more than platonic.
Yes, that's, you all were convinced of this, and I still wasn't, and today I'm still not sure either. I don't know. All right, so I have a crush, right? And I just wanted to know if we were hanging out today, I mean, over the weekend, if everything was going to be like a date. And I think it was.
Because this was a girl that you were introduced to in a group setting, and now the two of you guys have sort of broken away from them.
Yes, okay. We have mutual friends. So what I did is, before we hung out, because we hung out yesterday, so before we hung out, I went to my friend that introduced us, and I was like, hey, this is what I've been going through. This is what I think about her. Do you think that she could possibly have a crush on me, too? And she's like, I don't know.
Thanks, that was helpful.
I was like, any input? She's like, nah, just have fun. So I was like, okay. So we ended up going on like a restaurant tour of different places. I'm really tacoed out, y'all, to this day.
Is that even possible?
Oh, yes. I'm in a taco coma.
Was there anything leading up to you guys actually linking up for Taco Sunday that made you think, okay, now I get it. Now this is really a date?
No.
Nothing.
Nothing. It was regular conversation.
What was she wearing?
She was wearing like a little, I guess it's like a romper, but it was shorts. Like the short jumpsuit, like a jumpsuit, mm-hmm. But it was shorts.
Okay. So a romper.
Yeah. So it is romper, right?
Yes. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So a romper.
If the shorts part are long, those are overalls. But if it's shorts, those are rompers?
If it's long, it's a jumpsuit.
Yeah.
If it's short, it's a romper.
Okay. Then definitely a romper, like a tight little like camo romper with a whole bunch of buttons and
ooh,
cleavage.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
Buttons like and cleavage.
However, those are not easy to get into or get out of.
So you ain't just doing it for anybody.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. But it's also not easy to get in and out of for Katie.
Oh, so she ain't planning on coming out.
That one, oh, man. That still leaves it with a big question mark.
Would you notice something like that on a first date?
I just did.
Well, you weren't on the date.
Yeah, no.
But if you show up to the bar, right,
uh-huh.
And you're waiting on a woman, and she shows up, and she's in a head-to-toe chastity belt.
Yeah.
Do you notice that?
Yeah. Yes.
You do?
Yeah, being like, no, she's not getting, I'm not getting any.
So I decided to play it cool, like you all said. I didn't ask, you know, how she was feeling about anything. I just went with the flow. So we started one restaurant conversation, go to the next one, and it just seemed like it was good. And so I was like, there might have been flirty vibes. I still really don't know, y'all. I can't tell. But when we left the last restaurant, we decided to get on scooters all the way back, right? And so my scooter, like, crapped out, and it failed on me halfway through.
Battery done?
Yeah. Yeah. I just have the greatest luck up with scooters. And so then she's like, you know, hop on my scooter.
Right. Okay. Shared a scooter ride?
We shared a scooter ride.
Oh, vroom, vroom.
And then we crashed.
It's like the scene.
Did you really?
And then I messed up my knee really bad. But she took care of it. Like, she was like, it's okay. Let's just go get this fixed. Because it was just a whole bunch of blood. And I ruined my favorite pants, y'all.
She give you mouth to mouth, start pounding on your chest.
Why? Why are you always cutting your knee and bleeding through your pants? It's like a thing with you.
It is a thing. It was like the third time that's happened. Yes. And so she's like, it's okay. So she like doctored it up. And so I was like, well, she's kind of cute.
She was the one driving, right?
Yeah.
So she's the one that caused the accident.
Yeah, well, I lost balance too in the back. I think it was like a both. I don't think two people were supposed to be on a scooter together.
Well, no, they're not.
And I think that's where it went sideways. But
this was not like the scene in Grease 2, Cool Rider at all.
Oh, okay, not at all.
No.
But I just thought that was kind of cute and adorable. And then everywhere we went, we rotated. Like, who paid for this round of tacos and who paid for this? Mm. So I don't know there either, because it was a back and forth of, oh, I got this one. So still don't know off of that. But when we left, I was just going to walk away. And she's like, you know, let me know when you make it home. I was like, all right, cool. And I was just walking. She's like, wait, where's my hug? And I was like, okay, I don't know. She asked for a hug. I still don't know, y'all.
Oh, so you left with just a hug?
Yeah.
So you still don't know if it's just a girl looking for a friendship or a girl looking for a romance?
Yeah. And I don't know how to tell it. And y'all told me to play it cool. And now I feel like I need to ask questions.
I feel like it was definitely a date when you were going on it. But now that it's over, I'm not sure.
If it finishes with a hug, it feels more friend than it does date.
Yeah, because it's a first date, right? Was it the first or second?
First hangout, solo.
No, well, it's only the first. So maybe she don't kiss on the first date.
So when the accident happened and you all went flying on the scooter, was your first thought, I want to sue her, or I still think she's hot?
I still think she's hot.
Okay. All right. Well, then you're still in it to win it.
It's her we're concerned about.
Yeah.
Maybe she was picking up on you walking away, so she felt like you felt like it was a friend thing, so she pulls you back in for a hug. I don't know, man. On an end of a first date, if I got a hug, this is back in the day, though. It's been a couple of years. I would think she's feeling like the chemistry's not there.
I think that's usually fair, but I just don't know about a first date. Because I know some people have a real hard I don't kiss on a first date rule.
I always end my first dates with a hug. Sometimes a side hug if it's real bad. So was it a frontal hug?
No.
Or was it a side hug?
It was like a good embrace. It was
okay. Yeah. Okay. There's still hope here.
And she called you back for the hug. Like, you're already leaving. Uh-huh. So it wasn't like, oh, I'm awkwardly tapping out, bye. It was, wait, come back for some physical interaction.
Has there been a follow-up text like, hey, are you still bleeding?
are you able to walk today?
It was a, did you make it home safely text. That's it. So I haven't texted this morning.
Okay, if I was a betting woman, I think she's into you romantically.
Okay.
I would lean towards the same.
So just keep playing it cool then?
Yes, ask her out on a date and next time kiss her.
Try not to bleed again.
That's where the bar is set.
Don't play it too cool though. Go a little more lukewarm so she knows it's a date and you're not just there for the friendship. I mean, what have you got to lose? Honestly, her friendship? Oh, no.
Play it cool where you're not pressing her, but still be flirtatious Katie.
Okay.
You know what you're doing.
Like, be yourself and don't be yourself.
I don't.
I guess I'm stuck in that one part, that one time we were at that bar and I saw you walk out and make eyes at one dude and then start kissing with no words. That attitude, that Katie attitude is stuck in my head, but that was just an anomaly.
I only do that when I don't care.
Okay. It's different when you like the person. Right. Yeah.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Beyonce and Jay-Z now own the most expensive house in California. The couple reportedly bought the home for $200 million, which is going to sound like a steal when I tell you how much it was listed for privately. $295 million.
That is a lot. I mean, that's a hell of a discount, honestly.
I know. Shout out to their realtor for getting them that discount. Right. So the sale beats the previous home sale record in California, which was a $177 million home owned by an entrepreneur. It makes it the second most expensive home sale in the country, only behind a $238 million penthouse owned by the CEO of Citadel in Manhattan. So just to think, if they had not gotten that discount, they would have the most expensive home in the country.
Do we have the deets so we can do a little real estate porn?
Yeah, they're online. I went down in a rabbit hole this weekend looking at it. It's just, it looks more like a boutique hotel almost than it does a house. It's absolutely amazing.
But it's extremely modern. Like the lines of it, and there was like one angle, the way this compound is sitting up on a hill looking over the ocean, and there is like this one area where there is a pool, but it's only surrounded by like concrete walls, and you just look straight out into the... I'm just like, what architect came up with this? Because it's stunning and terrifying all at the same time.
So I'll answer that for you. The home was designed by master Japanese architect Tadao Ando, who is also working on Kanye West's home in Malibu. And Beyonce and Jay-Z's new home took almost 15 years to complete.
Wow.
The house was originally created for Bill Bell Jr., one of the biggest art collectors in the world and the heir to a soap opera fortune. His parents created The Young and the Restless and The Bold and the Beautiful.
I guess when you spend that kind of much money on a house that you don't care about this, but I wonder what it costs to maintain a house like that every month.
Pennies for Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Yeah. I mean, if you're buying a house like that, you don't care. But just to like the common man, I would love to know that.
I think they should have let go of the discount so that they could have been number one.
Yeah, right.
Like at that point, if you already paid $20 million, what's another 95 to be number one? Keep the discount.
No, but that is fascinating to know. Like, when if you broke down, like what the electric bill is, what the gas bill is, what lawn care is, housekeeping. If you added everything up, how much money you would be spending a month on this home?
I'd love to know.
It's going to be astronomical.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Probably what some millionaires are paying for their house, just in a mortgage. What's wild is that this home was built in 2003. Forget this. $14.5 million.
Wow.
Yeah, the housing market right now is crazy. The home is built, of course, entirely of concrete. It's 30,000 square feet. But other than that, we just have a couple of photos. It was a private sale. It wasn't listed on, like, Zillow. So we just have a couple to check out. Celebs. They're just like us. Kim K got really candid about raising her kids on Jay Shetty's podcast. She says sometimes she just cries herself to sleep at night, which I can imagine is very relatable to the average parent. Mm-hmm. And obviously, from an economic standpoint, they're not relatable whatsoever. But hearing her talk about what an average morning like is for her feels strangely normal.
Mornings, you have the best chaos, though. Like, my mornings, you have no idea what's going on. It's like, I always have to do one of my daughter's hair and it has to be perfect and it has to be a certain way. And then this one needs me to put his shoes on, and they all need you. And they all, it's like full crazy madness, cooking, running around. Like it's wild. And it will make you so proud of yourself that you figured it out and that you got through the day. And sometimes it's nights where it's just, we are going hour by hour to see if we're going to survive.
Yeah, all of her assistants must be exhausted.
I was going to ask how many nannies are there in the morning to assist.
Boy, the chef must really be working overtime.
There are some celebrities who are adamant about not, like, there's no shame in the nanny game. And, like, there's no shame if you do it, if you don't do it. Like, if you want to put, you have the means, but you want to put the onus and pressure on yourself, like, you know, figure out your own way, what makes you happy. But I feel like she's a nanny person.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nanny or nannies?
Nannies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
feel like each kid has one.
I mean, I do think that in a lot of ways, I'm sure she busts her ass as a mom, right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
I think that.
Just because you have a nanny doesn't mean you're any less of a mom.
I think that what she does have is the safety net on when she has this really wild, exhausting day that she can take a couple of hours because the nanny is there and she'd go, hey, can you take North for a couple of hours? Where most women don't have that.
Yeah.
But it's exhausting nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found so relatable is when she said, like, my daughter's hair has to be a certain way. I was like that growing up. And nobody, like, if I had a nanny, I didn't have a nanny, but, like, my dad couldn't touch my hair. It had to be my mom. Really? Had to be really tight. So I was like, you know what? That sounds very, very normal. Is Bad Bunny's most recent track about Kendall Jenner? Fans seem to think so. I'll tell you why on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Can we replace the Perfect Attendance Award with Kind Kids Awards already? Coming to school when you're sick or need a mental break doesn't deserve applause, including others. Sharing a lunch with some hungry and not bullying others absolutely deserves recognition. That what were the thoughts, or was the thought, of Mary Fairy Bowberry on Instagram, which really led to a pretty good debate on The Burt Show, which made us think of the Kindness Awards.
Yeah, I always love when you get really prophetic thoughts and comments from a random handle like Mary Fairy Bowberry. Cassie was the one that brought this to our attention, and I love the idea of acknowledging kids for their kindness rather than their perfect attendance.
Yeah, I think, growing up, perfect attendance was the mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, like, you should be able to take a sick day. No one wants you at school sick if your parents can have you home. Mental health breaks are important. We've learned that more and more. And so I feel like instilling in kids perfect attendance doesn't teach them that adults, they are allowed to stop and pause and take time for themselves and their health. And sometimes even just to play hooky to go to the beach if you want to. Mm-hmm. Like, life is worth living.
So we're going to do the Kindness Awards on The Burt Show. So you can call up 404-954-1360. If you can't remember that, we're going to put all the deets at theburtshow.com and nominate a kid. Nominate a student that you think is deserving of the Kindness Award. And then we're going to play those voice memos.
This doesn't even necessarily have to be your own kid. You could be a teacher and there's just one or two kids in class that you're like, wow, they always go above and beyond to help others. They volunteer for things they don't need to volunteer for. So we're looking for all these kids that are just so kind, and we need to give them some recognition. So like Kristen said, hit us up at 404-951-1360. We understand you're in your car, so you probably can't write that down. So all the info going to be up online at theburtshow.com. All right, it is commencement speech time, and this is a Burt Show tradition. Each of us coming in again this year with our own commencement speeches to make the world a better place for the class of 2023. And Kristen starts us off today.
I will. And I love technology because my sister-in-law sent me the live stream and I got to watch my nephew graduate high school over the weekend.
That's cool.
So we're just sitting there on the phone waiting to hear Luke Mattingly as he walks across the stage and gets his diploma. And like those feelings just rush over you again, like the accepting of the diploma, and then everybody stands up and they announce that this is the class of 2023, and then the pulling of the tassel from one side to the next. It brought back so many great memories, and I know so many students and parents are going through this right now, whether your kid is graduating kindergarten or graduating middle school, high school, college, whatever.
That might be a new angle, a commencement speech for a kindergartner.
I like that. You want to take that test?
I might go that route.
Should be 15 seconds long.
Yeah, I got to keep it quick for the five-year-old. So here is my 2023 commencement speech. Off to a great start if I can't even get commencement out. Good afternoon, class of 2023. This is a momentous day that marks the culmination of years of hard work, dedication, and persistence. As you stand here today receiving your diplomas, take a moment to reflect on the journey that has brought you to this point. You may have survived countless tests, sleepless nights, difficult assignments. You have faced challenges, made mistakes, and hopefully learned from them. You formed friendships, fond mentors, and discovered skills and passions you never knew you had. But now as you move on to the next chapter of your lives, you are faced with a new set of challenges and opportunities. You may be going to college, starting a job, embarking on a new adventure. Whatever it is you choose to do, know that the skills and knowledge you have gained thus far will serve you well. And yet, as you look forward, it is important to remember that success is not just about what you achieve, but also how you achieve it. As you move into the world, ask yourself who you want to be beyond what you want to do. What kind of person do you want to be remembered as?
What values do you want to uphold? As you move forward, I encourage you to embrace diversity, empathy, and kindness. In a world that can often be divisive, seek to build bridges, not walls. Listen to the perspectives of others and try to understand their experiences. And when you encounter injustice or inequality, speak up and take action. In addition to empathy and kindness, I encourage you to embrace curiosity. Always be learning, exploring, and questioning. Embrace uncertainty and be open to new ideas. Recognize that the most meaningful learning often happens outside of the classroom, and that some of life's greatest lessons can be found in unexpected places, such as the company of friends and family, or in the pages of a good book. And finally, I encourage you to take risk. Follow your passions, even if they take you down an unexpected path. Be willing to fail, because failure is not a defeat, but a lesson. And remember that the greatest rewards often come from the greatest risk. Class of 2023, as you move forward in your lives, I wish you all the best. May you be successful, kind, curious, and courageous. And may you always remember the lessons you have learned, the people who have helped you along the way, and the potential that lies within you. Congratulations.
Bravo!
Standing ovation all the way around.
That was done by AI.
Was it really?
That was ChatGPT.
Was it really?
It really was.
That says more about your commencement speech and the time we're living in than anything else.
How good was that? It was ChatGPT.
That was amazing.
I was wondering, kind of perfect.
I was wondering how you banged that out, because honestly, originally on the schedule, it was Abby that was supposed to go first. So I hit Abby up late yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
And we were like, we weren't really sure what she was supposed to do. And so I said, Kristen, and she decided she would write it.
Uh-huh. No, I felt bad because, like, that's an assignment that should have been given to Abby on Friday, yeah, not like Sunday night. And so when I realized that she hadn't been informed, I was like, oh, I'll do it. And I'll just put it into chat. Literally, I went to ChatGPT and I said, please write a commencement speech for the class of 2023. And that's what he came up with.
That's pretty good.
Really good. In a couple of years, that will be delivered to a bunch of holograms anyway. So.
Awesome. But Abby, you are on the hook for tomorrow. Okay. I'll try and top it.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you got to have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer. There's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't gotta worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Burt Show.
So if you know the boss is cheating, right, or it is in a marriage that just is just sideways, and he's got one over here, she's got one over here, and one over here. Can you trust them in business is the question. Can you separate the two? 1-855-BIRCHO if you got a strong opinion on this, because this is the email that we got. Hey, I feel like you guys could have PhDs in infidelity, considering how often you cover it on the show.
Great.
Okay. It's true, though. It is true, man. It does feel like every day.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm reaching out to you guys today. I'm thinking about backing out of a business deal because of my partner's affair. A coworker and I have recently begun to discuss leaving our company and setting up our own business. We haven't put our notices in, so I prefer to keep our profession somewhat vague. It's important to know we've worked together for several years, and she has excellent knowledge in our field. I was ready to go all in. I really think us branching out on our own could be the break we both need from a financial and fulfillment perspective. Then I discovered that she is going through a divorce because she cheated on her husband. This wasn't a one-night stand, but at least a year-long affair. That means a year of lies and a year of betrayals. From the details I have, he was a wonderful partner. She just had an itch that needed to be scratched and then got caught. This gives me serious pause about starting our business together. I have all kinds of alarm bells going off all over her trustworthiness, integrity, and character. If she's willing to cheat on the one person she swore to love and stay faithful to for life, how do I know she's not going to cheat on me? I'm trying to separate the personal from the business, but it's virtually impossible. Would you be able to move forward with the business partnership if you found out your partner was unfaithful and cheated on their spouse? On their spouse.
That's why you want to do a commencement speech for kindergartners.
Right. All right, where do you guys stand on this? 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. It sounds a little judgy because do you really know what the circumstances were in the marriage?
You will never know all the details and the ins and outs of another person's relationship or the reasoning behind a person's infidelity. Like, unless you lived it, you're not going to be able to fully understand it and comprehend it. So my answer is a hard no on that. But I understand why it's giving her pause.
Yeah, I remember we had a similar conversation like this a while back. And I do remember feeling like, you can be a good business person and not necessarily the best spouse. Like, I do think you can't separate it. They don't necessarily have to coincide. At the same time, I feel like I would see this as a sign. Like, if I were about to go into business with somebody and then I learned that they were unfaithful or unloyal to their partner, it might make me back up a little bit and think if this is somebody I really want to go into business with.
Sidebar before you start, you need to stand. Your watch is telling you it's time for you to stand.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Okay.
Tell me you have ADD without telling me you have ADD.
How did you see that?
Yes.
All the way across the room.
It's like, what?
I just want to make sure you're healthy.
No, man. I appreciate
I'm
that.
I'm glad you stand.
It says I'm almost there, okay. So I appreciate it.
So I think, I mean, if you look at some of the most successful people in, like, Hollywood, for example, those people are some of the worst spouses in the country. And yet here they are kicking ass, you know, making films and being incredible at business. So I don't think it necessarily means that just because they're a bad spouse, they would be a bad partner. But I do think it speaks to their character. Like, if they are, it shows that they're willing to lie to get what they want. It shows that they're willing to breach a contract, essentially. I mean, that's what marriage is. So I think it's definitely a red flag, but I don't think it's necessarily like a complete deal breaker.
Mm. Now, I'm going to have a little bit of a different take on this. And this is years and years and years ago when I was on the come up, all right? So hanging out with bosses that, and it was much more old boy network back then. So, hey, come on, have a drink with us. Have a guy's night out with us, man, with the bosses, right? You go out, you hang out. And I will say from that experience, years and years and years ago, the bosses that would go out, buy women drinks that were married, do their drugs in the bathroom, have the big time night out, right? And you could just tell they were trying to hook up, weren't very trustworthy when it came to business. I got to be honest with you. I mean, I could see that in one night. Looking back at it, the way they treated those situations on that night did speak something about their overall character.
Well, I think there's something to be said about that. I mean, if somebody is willing to step out on their partner, it does mean that they it shows what they would do in a moment of temptation. So if that happens in business, yeah, I think it's fair to say that could happen.
Yeah, I could see how somebody would feel like loyalty is loyalty. So like if you are a loyal person, and you'd be loyal to not only your friends or not only your wife, but to your business people. So if you can't be loyal to your spouse, I could see how that would be a problem for business.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think she can go to her and be like, okay, you need to explain yourself because no.
Why did you cheat?
Yeah, you know, that's the personal versus business. But I don't know if I would scrap the whole thing, but man, it's a sign.
It makes you look a different way, for mm-hmm. sure.
The Burt Show.
I, like a lot of you guys, find myself politically homeless. And we cover that in our bonus content this week. And Abby has a friend whose ex is reaching out in about the strangest, creepiest way I've ever heard in my life. You're going to have to find that on our bonus content, burtshow.com/bonusBS. All right, he flat out says he's just using the neighbors for their pool. His wife is not so cool about it, right? Who's right and who's wrong? Abby's got the email.
Burt Show, I'm having a disagreement with my wife and could use your take on the situation. So here's the deal. Our neighbors happen to have the most epic pool ever. I mean, it's pretty insane. They have these really fun parties around their pool all summer long. They also have no problem letting us use the pool on our own when they're gone. It's an awesome situation for us. Let me be real with you guys. I'm totally using them for their pool. I couldn't care less about forging a meaningful relationship with them. I actually can't stand them.
Oh.
And I find them to be incredibly annoying. I try everything I can to avoid being around them while hanging out at their place.
I like that escalated rather quickly.
It's one of those things like when you're writing it, you don't realize how emotional it is. But then when the words are coming out, it just gets worse and worse and worse.
I mean, it's one thing to find them annoying. It's another thing to find them insanely annoying.
You can't stand it.
My wife knows exactly how I feel. And while she may not feel as strongly, she also doesn't really like them. Because we don't like them, she's feeling guilty about taking advantage of them. She says that she doesn't want us using their pool at all this summer. And that's where the disagreement begins. She thinks it's, quote, morally wrong to use people just for their amenities, end quote, even if they don't mind. I think morally wrong is a bit strong. Sure, it'd be better if they had a great pool and we liked them, but I don't think that should stop us from using the pool and going to the parties. Am I wrong?
I guess I would need to feel like what I don't like about them. Like, if I go over there and we're hanging out around their pool, am I going to have to talk for 2.5-3 hours about things that I don't agree with them at all about? You know, like, I really don't like who they are as people at all. Am I going to have to deal with that? Or is it just because, I don't know,
they're chatty Cathy's.
Chatty, or somebody's drinking too much whenever you're over there a little bit. That I can put up with, but a pool's a pool.
A pool's a pool. I think, so it just kind of sounds like they're just so bugged by these people. It doesn't sound like there's a moral, well, I mean, the wife thinks it's morally wrong, but it doesn't seem like these people are horrible. They're just irritating. And so I don't think it's wrong as long as to their face you're nice, because I think it's one thing if you're going to go over and be like, oh, but your pool's great. But so as long as you're kind, you can talk crap about them behind their backs.
Oh, you can't. That you sell it.
Yes, what you can. I'll do anything for a good pool.
I don't think it's morally wrong because you're not using it behind their backs. I mean, they're letting you use it. And I'm kind of with Bert on this. I would have to know what the exact issues are. I don't think I would be able to do it. I'm just not wired like that. I don't think I would be able to fake it like all the time like that just to use the pool. But if they say it's okay to use it when they're not around, I might jump in that thing.
See, I like to believe at this point, stage in my life, I know my strengths and I know my weaknesses. And like Mo, I can't fake it. Like I while I was over there, I wouldn't have a good time. I wouldn't feel good about it. I wouldn't enjoy myself. So I would just have to go find a pool to join elsewhere.
Y'all are about to have the worst summer ever. I'm gonna be kicking it at my neighbor's pools.
Abby and I are probably gonna be over there together.
Okay. Mo and I will be at my house listening to you splash and do cannonballs and have a big old time.
Watching from the window with tears in my eyes.
They got a tiki bar and everything. It's great over here. It's great in sellout lane.
I will tell you this, man. We had a next door neighbor years and years ago, our friend Mike, who had a pool, and I mean, this amazing gazebo, and he threw the greatest parties, but he was sincerely the nicest guy on the planet. Like, I felt bad about, like, saying no to an invitation, and it is so nice when you have a next-door neighbor that has a pool that is welcoming, and he was the same way. Come on over whenever you want, man, even if we're not here. No problem at all, right? And it really is super nice to have that neighbor, but if they're a complete D-bag... Like you said, if it's like an integrity or a value thing, I'm not going over there. But if it's just I got to deal with some annoying stuff, a pool is awesome. And a jacuzzi? Oh, you won't even know.
Swim apart? Hell yeah.
Swim apart the whole thing, man. Oh, yeah. You have no idea I hate you. You have no idea.
The Burt Show.
All right, Rebecca has a friend that in the interest of unity, I think... wants to do something together Rebecca might not be totally on board about.
I'm in a little bit of a pickle because I have a friend and she's a very close friend and she's never gotten any tattoos. So for her 30th birthday, which is coming up, she wants to get one for the first time, which I think is like super cool and super awesome. I have like a few tattoos. I think they're super duper. So I think it's just really fun.
You're team tattoo.
I'm team tattoo for sure.
I don't know that I've ever heard of tattoos referred to as super duper. That's that is a super duper tattoo you got right there. Super duper.
Yeah, mine are super duper.
Super duper ink. Literally will have no clients.
Not a one.
Oh, I would totally go there.
Super duper ink?
Yeah. Just be a bunch of girls that look like me and Rebecca. Like, we're ready to get her tattoos.
I want every tattoo artist to turn around when somebody comes in like they do at Moe's and go, welcome to Super Duper!
I'm a super duper dad.
I'm walking out. Right out.
But when she told me, I was very excited and I said, oh my God, like, I'm so excited. I will go with you to the tattoo shop. Like, I'll sit there, I'll hold your hand because I know she's really nervous about it. And she said, oh no, I want you to get a matching tattoo with me for my birthday, which I was actually okay with until she showed me exactly what she wants. And if you will take a look at your schedule, it's what? Right there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's not it.
It's a super duper tattoo.
It's a star something. With a fedora and...
It's a cowboy.
It's a cowboy hat.
It looks like the Hardee's logo. I know. Yeah, that's what it is. It's like the Hardee's logo, and they brought out a Southwest Berkeley. Yes.
I think to really get the picture, it's like a cartoonish star, and it has just a little smiley face, a little super duper teeny tiny smiley face, a cowboy hat. And a
lasso.
An outstretched lasso.
What is the origin story behind this thing?
So she moved to Texas and she's been there for 3 years. And she just decided this was like the perfect thing to just encapsulate her Texasness living in Austin.
So my question is, if you're getting matching tattoos, usually when you do that with a friend, it's something symbolic for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your attachment to the star version of Ted Lasso?
Here's the tea, okay? I have a matching tattoo already with four of my friends who are from Atlanta, and it is a little alien because we're ATLians.
Mm.
So I think she kind of feels like a little jealous. Aww. And she wants to get a location tattoo. She wants me to come down to Austin, get a tattoo that's kind of like Austinite so she can kind of be in the tattoo gang.
And your feelings are?
No.
Yeah, that's not one you can compromise on. Me and my best friend John did this when we were younger, and we've known each other since the 8th grade. So we got super drunk one night and went to go get matching tattoos together. Luckily enough, the tattoo artist identified that we were really hammered and said, hey, even here at Super Duper, that we will not put ink on people that are drunk, not because you're drunk, but because we're artists and it'll mess up the tattoo. You'll bleed too much, so we're not doing it. So we had to sober up, but then we did get it done. We did get it done together. And then 15 years later, we both had it redone, so it doesn't look anything like it did then.
What were the matching tattoos you got?
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh! You can't do that.
It was...
Was it worse than the star with a lasso and a tiny fedora?
It was just really super cheesy, even for its time. It was a for me, it was a wave that went all the way around my arm.
Oh, that's
it was
your
an armband. Yeah.
Oh, so. I remember that.
Now it's tatted over, but it's stupid, and nobody can tell that it was a wave. They're like, "What is that thing around your arm?" It's a wave.
Should have went to Super Duper.
I should have gone to Super Duper. So, how are you going to tell her?
I don't know. I'm kind of scared because I do. I always had kind of an inkling that she kind of felt a little jealous about me having a matching tattoo with other people, and I don't want her to feel like she's like a lower tier friend because she's not. But I think I'm actually going to blame it on the fact that I don't actually think tattoos really heal on my skin very well. Like if you look at my tattoos, I have the worst tattoo maybe you've ever probably seen.
What's that supposed to say?
Yeah, if you can read that right now, I'll give you $1,000,000.
Does it say amor?
No, L-A.
Oh, it's an L, not an A.
L. Oh,
gosh. Oh, you close to
lover?
Me. You can't read it.
I got this when I was 18 years old.
What does it say?
Here, take a look.
Lamo?
It says Lamo.
What is me in Spanish?
Why did it all blend together like that?
It's the word l'amour from like French, l'amour. Oh,
the love.
Yes.
The love. Okay.
And I don't know. I think my skin is just really, really bad.
Ooh.
Yes. You can use that, or you could just say, nah.
Or you get a tattoo artist that you like and commission a piece that you like and gift it to her for her 30th birthday about something that involves the two of you. That way you have control of the design. She can use it if she wants, but it's a pretty sweet gift and it encapsulates your friendship.
Oh, that's so cute.
There are ways out.
The way my bank account's set up, that sounds very expensive.
If you work at Super Duper Tattoo and you'd like to design it for free, please contact Rebecca at thebirdshow.com.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I know I shouldn't care, but anytime there's speculation about a certain song being about a certain celeb, just get real curious. So fans seem to think that Bad Bunny's newest track is all about Kendall Jenner. So Bad Bunny just released a new song called Where She Goes that he said in an interview that he started about 2 months ago on, conveniently, right after he allegedly started dating Kendall Jenner. Most of the speculation came after people saw the music video for a couple of reasons. The first was that in the video, there's a woman featured in lingerie and angel wings, which is very reminiscent of a certain Victoria's Secret angel who wore a similar all-white lingerie and wings outfit. There's also horses all throughout the music video, which Kendall Jenner is a notorious horse girl, so people think that maybe it was a nod to her, or maybe he just wanted to have a lot of horses on set so she could enjoy herself. And the third is that there's also lots of scorpions sprinkled out through the music video, which may be a nod to her star sign, the Scorpio, which is just, this is so funny to me because like, why do we care? It just makes it so much more interesting to know who he's singing about.
I really think, have we done this before? All of us should take one video and look at it, decipher it, try to figure out what the Easter eggs are in it, and then report back after watching. I have never done this, and it fascinates me when people do it, because mostly because I think, who has that kind of time?
Me.
But I would like to. But I think I would like to try it.
Okay, Uber just introduced something new for teens, and intern Kiara was just telling me all about it.
Yeah, so this past Friday, Uber announced that they will be launching a new account for teenagers between the ages of 13 to 17 to request rides and travel without their parents or guardians present. So this account is said to be linked to the main account of their parent or guardian. And according to Uber, the new account will allow parents to be notified of their like teen's location as they're getting dropped off. And apparently they'll be able to like contact the driver directly while they're getting like their ride. When they get in the car, they'll be given a unique PIN to give to the driver, and it's said to be location locked, which means the driver cannot change the trip's destination. Only the teen can, and if the teen chooses this feature, there will be an audio recording throughout the entire ride for like, I guess, safety purposes. But the problem I have with it is, as a 21-year-old woman, for me, I don't feel safe getting an Uber. So it's like, for kids the ages of 13 to 17, how is it okay for them to get an Uber without their guardian present?
Yeah, that's real nice and all that they're doing that, but no, my child's not getting in a car with a stranger.
Same.
between 13 and 17?
No. Yeah.
Uber?
No. Yeah.
With all those safeguards?
Yeah.
I'd probably do it. I would do it.
Here's the other thing. Here's what the big flaw is, and Uber can't control this, is that you'll hear reports of adults doing this. They just walk up to a car that's waiting and be like, Uber, and the person will be like, yeah. And you get in without confirming the license plate, the name. So to trust a 13-year-old to properly confirm the correct car, they're not dumb. 13-year-olds are very, very smart. But sometimes it's just you don't think through those things. Even adults do that. And my fear is my kid is going to get into the wrong car or somebody's going to be waiting and take off with them. And it won't be the driver that Uber has dispatched. It'll be some rando and then your kid's gone.
13, I feel like I wouldn't put my kid in there. 15, 16, 17, I'd feel much more comfortable with that, with all the safeguards they're putting in there.
I know. It doesn't seem like the most ideal situation, but to me, like if I'm a single parent and I just do not have the capacity to drive my child around and I don't have a carpool option, like I would just hope that I would be able to have a conversation with my child and make sure, like, okay, make sure you ask about the PIN. Make sure that he enters the PIN, because it seems like it could be a really good option for people who this is like their last resort.
Yeah, but as often as I take lifts, I would probably feel more comfortable around 16, 17. Mm-hmm. I think anything under that, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, 13's a little too young for me.
The thing that I have the most problem with is the fact that it had to be linked to a parent or guardian's account. So with the crazy world that we live in today, like, who's to say that someone else didn't create the account and it's not their actual parent or guardian that actually created the account and giving them rides? So, like, what if it's their friend that they're using as, like, a fake account or something?
How about in some cases the kid is safer in the Uber than he is in his own house with his parents?
That's,
some are just bad parents.
Yes. I would default to the latter.
Initially, you said you don't feel safe riding an Uber by yourself as a 21-year-old?
Yeah.
Okay, why is that?
It's because, like, there's a lot of reports of, like, you know, kidnappings and just crazy things that happen, and people are like, you know, there's background checks for Ubers and everything, but you never know where a person's mental could be. Like, it's not like you can fall asleep in an Uber and think you're going to get home safe, because God forbid there's like a person driving that's like, you know, going to take you. So I just don't feel safe.
Yeah, this is one, and I respect and understand where you're coming from. I feel like with Uber or with Lyft or whatever, like if you hear one story or two stories about a driver that has been, is doing things improperly, then you tend to forget about the millions of people that made it to their destination with no problems whatsoever, because it's such a serious thing.
Yeah, I've definitely felt a little unsafe in certain Ubers, but for the most part, my experience have been good. So I just hope that this ends up being a good thing for kids and their parents to get around safely. One of today's biggest artists says she has absolutely no interest in touring. I'm going to bum out some of her fans on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
You know, the ones that can't control their flirting, all right? For whatever reason at all, you got a friend that, even if they're not attracted to the other person, for whatever reason, feel the need to flirt with them. Right?
Yeah.
You've ever met somebody like this?
Oh, I have lots of friends like that.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. My friends are flirty, flirty, flirty girls, and they just live for the validation, understandably.
So on Friday, we had to text a sister that was like this because she was just creating tension in the family.
Yeah, so our Berkshire listener hit us up, needed our help with texting tutor because she needed to text her sister about backing off and not being overly flirtatious with her new boyfriend. She's bringing the new man around the fam, and she was concerned about her, as she stated, more attractive sister flirting with him and potentially stealing him away. Of course, that was like an extreme situation, but she was very worried about her sister's overtly flirtatious ways. So instead of telling sister to dial it back, we went the reverse psychology route. And as like a way to test him, we asked her if she would turn the flirt on like she always does and see if he takes the bait. And she got very defensive.
Oh, I don't do that.
Yes.
How dare you attack my character like this?
She was pretty much incredulous to the fact that she was one of those, as you say, Abby, flirty, flirty, flirty girls. And she really like took it to heart and felt it was a massive insult to be labeled as a flirt. So we just said, okay, let's scrap the whole thing. I'm like, we backpedaled and we apologized and said we meant no insult. Actually thought we were complimenting her, and everything I think ended with like either just an okay or a thumbs up. But the seed had been planted. So we did our job in the hopes that she would be aware and so therefore would not have been overtly and excessively flirting with her sister's new boyfriend.
She'll be sensitive to it when everybody's around.
Yes, okay? Exactly.
So in the reality, how did it go over the weekend?
First of all, thank you for all the advice you guys gave me with texting my sister. As for this weekend, my boyfriend did meet my family for dinner on Saturday night. However, there was one notable absence. My sister.
Ooh.
She was supposed to be there, so when she didn't show, my mom called her. All she really said was that she wasn't feeling up to it. My mom just assumed that she was feeling under the weather, and I didn't say anything, but I knew she was intentionally trying to prove a point.
Mm-hmm.
Later that night, I called her. She admitted that she felt fine, but didn't feel like seeing me or meeting him. I apologized again and tried to explain to her that I never intended to hurt her. She seemed to accept my apology, so I told her I really wanted her to meet him. She agreed to go to lunch with us the next day. That didn't go well either. From the moment she showed up, she was extremely standoffish. She didn't seem shy, but flat out rude. My boyfriend was trying so hard to engage her in conversation, and I was annoyed. I didn't want her to flirt, but I also didn't want her to be an outright bitch. Once again, it seemed like she was trying to prove a point. I didn't call her on it. I didn't feel like dealing with drama. I just ended lunch as soon as possible. So for now, I've decided to take a step back and give my sister some space. A lot of space. I plan to avoid her as much as possible, especially if my boyfriend is with me. Maybe in a couple of months, I can revisit the idea of introducing them, and hopefully it'll go better then.
So your sister's kind of an immature punk, or is being one anyway, right now. I think this is the best case scenario, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really see how she could have went about it. I guess I do somewhat understand her sister feeling away with the way that she kind of, I guess, feels attacked, but... I mean, if this is the way she's going to handle it, I do think that staying away from her for right now is probably the best thing you can do.
I don't think she's necessarily being immature with the rudeness. I mean, I don't think it's mature, but I can imagine, like, if she's thinking, oh, my sister thinks I'm going to be flirting with her boyfriend and making her uncomfortable, maybe she's, like, swinging the pendulum the other way, and it's almost like a defense mechanism where she's like, well, if I'm kind of rude, if I'm flat, if I'm not super like enjoyable to be around, they can't accuse me of being flirty.
Yeah,
that's, and I think Abby and I are on the same page, because some people confuse kindness with flirtatiousness, and sometimes you're just trying to be nice. Like, nice to some people equals flirt, and that's just not the case. Sometimes you're just being a nice person, and I think in this instance she feels like she can't win. So I kind of don't blame the sister for acting the way she does, because she doesn't want to be accused of flirting.
I guess I see where you guys are coming from here. Yeah. So should our listener then text, like, sister just to see if that was what she was feeling?
No.
Or just let it kind of go right now?
I think this needs a little time and a little space to simmer down.
This is a sister power move. She's doing it on purpose. She is being a total B-word, and I think you give her space and you don't contact her and you wait till she comes to you. I don't think you be mean to her. I don't think you intentionally exclude her from stuff at all. Like, always invite her, still be nice, but no showing dinner and not telling anyone, including mom, you're not coming. Bratty move, right? Agreeing to go to lunch, but then I agree, like, some people do see kindness as flirting. I'm totally on board with you guys on that. But the outright rude, like, you know your sister and you know your siblings and you know when they're being even keeled and you know when they're acting out. And for a sister to be like, she was flat out rude, that's different from being like apathetic or nonchalant. I think the sister's playing games.
So at this point you say just let her be?
Let her be, come around, still include her, love her, all that stuff, but don't go out of your way to make touch points.
So Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
It was the visit to my house that is 2 years in the making?
Something like that. Yeah, a little over 2 years.
Because there was my move from Sandy Springs to Pawnee.
Yep.
There it is.
And I don't think you saw that house.
I never was able to make the trek to Suwannee.
Never made the trek all the way up the Oregon Trail to Suwannee.
Not because I didn't want to. Because I had emailed.
Yeah.
And this is, you were supposed to check with Tiff, and then I just never heard anything back.
It's an insecure quirk that I have always had about having people in my house. And I know where it comes from. I've had enough therapy. My house growing up was not the house where kids were welcome. Not even my parents' kids were welcome there.
Then that was my problem, because I was trying to plan a weekend where you and Tiffany had Eliza, and so I was going to bring Jimmy, because when they two of them were hanging out together at the Christmas party, they were adorable. Like, she loves little kids. She
loves them.
Yeah. So, and it just, it never came to fruition.
Not a you thing. It's a me thing. So I moved down south a little bit just for you, down to Johns Creek, so we could visit each other a little bit more. But here I am in that house for a year, and you still haven't been. Dang it, we put this thing on the calendar.
I was ready, y'all.
I was ready.
Friday, the plan was I was going to hit the road, head OTP around 2 o'clock because I didn't want to hit any traffic. I had my water. I had my granola bar. I had my flashlight. And I even had you a little housewarming gift.
Your granola and your flashlight.
Yes.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
I was ready, too. I mean, my fiance was cleaning the house because she knows how insecure I am about having people in it, so she was trying to make it perfect. We have been over to Kristen's house before, which looks so beautiful and so put together every time we go over there. So she knows that. So she's making the house pretty. Kristen and I am walking out of the studio at, what was it, 10:30 on Friday or whatever. Hey, see you in a couple hours, girl.
Yep.
See you in a couple hours. So I get down to my car and I get a notification from my Google Calendar that I hadn't realized before that my kid had early dismissal on Friday. So I haven't seen Hollis all week long. And I'm like, if my kid shows up to my house after me not seeing him all week long, and I'm like, sorry, can't hang out, I have guests right now, I really would have felt very bad and awkward and uncomfortable with that. So I hit up Chris and I'm like, I swear to you, this is not a joke. And I swear to you, this is not a radio bit. I swear to you, I can't do today.
He when Bert texts, he's a man of few words, right? So I knew when I got like this long diatribe of the text, something was up. And he's like, bleeping bleep, KK, not making this up. Hollis usually doesn't get to my house until 4. Just find out he's got early dismissal, blah, blah, blah. And he even goes on to say, just so you know, I'm not BSing you. This is the text exchange between Aaron and I. And did a screenshot and sent it to me. I go, I know you're not BSing me. So we'll just... You are not, the ball is in your court.
My God. It never happened.
No. What?
Yeah. It didn't happen.
Never made it out there. His housewarming gift is still rolling around in my back seat.
I swear to you, we will get this on the calendar over the course of the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I'm sorry not to believe myself.
But I'll never see it, so it doesn't
matter. All right, anything else to tell us about Jimmy going to the Fox this weekend and getting to meet his idol?
Yes, his idol, Bluey. So Jimmy had his first trip to the Fox Theater, the iconic Fox Theater, this past weekend for Bluey's big play. And as we were parking and walking down the street, and you see, of course, you have to get the iconic picture of yourself with your family and the selfie with the Fox Theater sign. So many kids dressed in Bluey gear. I did not feel bad at all because I was a little bit, I don't want to say embarrassed, but sheepish about wearing our Bluey family shirts. So I had one that had Keepy Uppy, which is the name of an episode, a Bluey episode. My husband, Bart, had one that had Stump Fest on it, and that was also the name of a Bluey episode. And then Jimmy, of course, had the Bluey characters, and I got him Bluey shoes with Bluey and Bingo playing Keepy Uppy. And the amount of matching outfits from families where, like, Dad was wearing, like, the dad shirts with Bandit on it, and it was adorable. So, yeah, Jimmy's first trip to the Fox was a massive success. He was so well-behaved. It was a raucous crowd because, you know, it was a 10 a.m. showing and there was about anywhere from infant to, like, you know, 10-year-olds. And they were just, there was a lot of kids, man. So you weren't going to get silence in the theater. And
which is okay when you're around a whole bunch of other parents, like 2- and 3-year-olds. You know, nobody's going to go, like, shut that kid up. Because we're all going through the same thing.
Yeah. Was not expecting it to be, like, you know, a chill before, like when we go watch the Nutcracker at the Fox. I knew this wasn't going to be the same kind of gig. That The Bluey's big play kept it short and sweet. It's a 45-minute show. At the end, though, they threw all these balloons out into the crowd, and then they started the bubble machines, and that got the kids real jacked up.
Sure.
And then afterwards, I splurged for the meet and greet. So Jimmy got to go backstage to the Spanish room and meet Bluey in all her glory, and we had the best time.
Think about that just for a second as a 2- or 3-year-old, right? That is legitimately to a 2-year-old like you meeting Paul McCartney.
Yes. Oh, wait, what?
That is Paul McCartney right there.
Bluey is Jimmy's Beatles right now.
Yes.
And there's four of them.
Right?
That's cool.
So it went great.
It was fantastic. He was slightly terrified of the giant Bluey costume, but he just held on to me with a death grip, and we were able to get up there and get a picture.
All right, Cassie, lost in motherhood response. We got a couple of seconds here to cover this.
Yeah, so I did a break a couple weeks ago about being lost in motherhood and feeling like I don't have hobbies and I'm consumed by being a mother. And so many people reached out feeling the same, but with really great advice. And one listener in particular, Heidi, reached out. And I just wanted to share a little bit of what she wrote. She said, I grew up with parents who met playing bluegrass. They love it. They have a friend couple and they started a little local band. That's the sound of my childhood, spending weekends during the summer at some local fair or celebration. I'm so grateful for the love of music that my parents' hobby gave me. I still love going dancing, spending a Saturday afternoon exploring a festival, or attending a symphony. My dad was a cyclist. Once he had kids, he started running because cycling wasn't kid-friendly. Once again, summers were full of early mornings in the car, driving to some race where we'd all join in, run a 5K, then go out for ice cream and laser tag afterwards. I'm so grateful that his hobby of being active has given me an appreciation for what my body can do and the quality time that we spent together. She goes on to detail more of her parents' hobbies and how they affect her as an adult and the memories she has of her childhood, of doing her parents' hobbies with them. And she said, I realize that as a mom, you're focused on keeping your family alive, clean, healthy, and going. But don't give up on those things you love to do. Turn it into something you could do with your kids. Share your hobbies with them and teach them that they need to enjoy life as well. I'm so thankful that my parents showed us it's important to take time to do things besides just being parents because it allowed us to explore and find passions of our own. Share what you love with your kids.
Great
and
advice.
I just thought it was a beautiful way showcasing, like, as a parent, if you have a hobby, I always felt no judgment to anyone else. This is my own thing I'm grappling with. Like, it was selfish and taking away time from my kids. So getting this email from Heidi showcasing how what her parents did for her as a child and the memories it made and how it helped her grow as a human. I don't know. It really touched me and it changed my perspective on it.
It's The Bird Show.
The Bird Show.